Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
At our church, we have people repeat a prayer who want to place their faith in Christ.
Jesus did all the hard part. He did everything but pray your prayer.
I'm going to ask you just to pray with me right now. Just say these words with me.
You can say those words every day for the rest of your life and die and be separated from God.
The scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their hearts?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The world is like Laurel and Hardy. This is Wretched Radio. Chances are, unless you're old and curmudgeonly, you're not familiar with Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. These were comedians back in the 20s, 30s, 40s who were all the rage. They were right up there with Martin and Lewis. That probably didn't help you figure out who they are. They were comedians who were dithering. It was two guys who found themselves in different scenarios, working different jobs, being a piano mover, trying to get across a bridge, and it was nothing but hijinks. The character, however, that was the one who was apparently smarter, would come up with a solution for the problem, and inevitably, it would do nothing but exacerbate the very problem that they themselves had created. That's why the world is like Laurel and Hardy. They create the problem. They then come to the rescue saying, "We have a solution for you." And what is that solution? Nothing but fuel that gets thrown onto the fire that makes the problem even greater than it originally was. And we see that all the time, especially, dare I suggest, when it comes to the subject of mental health. That is a term that was coined somewhat recently. I know that because I listened to the Transform podcast with Dr. Greg Gifford, which you should too. Woo! His series that he's on right now is about how to not be a passive husband. I got a funny feeling there's a fair amount of kidney punches that are being received because he made it clear that there are so many women who are longing for a leader husband, not an obnoxious, overbearing patriarch. They just want a guy to be, you know, a guy and do what he was built to do. And that is to lead the home, to be the one who's the protector of the home, the initiator in the home, the most responsible one in the home. And these are guys who are getting along in life just fine overall, but they're just passive and they let everything fall onto the wife. He started part one. You should really plug into this because chances are, sir, he's going to find something helpful for you about you where you can go, uh-oh, I think I've been doing that. And I grant you, this does get a little bit tricky because you can point out a problem that appears to be a problem or a symptom of a problem that isn't necessarily a problem. For instance, and I will say this in my own defense, there is somebody in our home who is much better at numbers than the other one. And it ain't I. That's right, ain't I. So I did a predicate nominative with bad grammar. The point is, Mrs. Friel's way better at that. Now, I'm engaged when it comes to taxes. I'm engaged when it comes to taking a look at anything that is government related. But when it comes to the day-to-day operation of the Friel household, she takes care of the number stuff because she's just plain better at it. Now, you could say, ah, you're a passive husband. And that is true, which is why when Greg Gifford suggested that could be a sign of a passive husband, I had to stop and go, is it I? Am I being that way too? So you do have to be careful with this. And I would suggest to you, and maybe Greg will bring this up in his next podcast, the only way to know is if you ask your wife, do you feel like I'm abandoning ship? That I'm just spending too much time in the basement watching the Players Golf Tournament? How's about that, Scottie Scheffler? I just read about it online. I didn't watch it myself because I'm not a passive husband. The point is, tune in to Greg Gifford's Transform podcast because men, we are under assault. And you are encouraged to be passive. In fact, Jimmy, I heard somebody just preached a sermon on Sunday talking about men and the mockery of men in our society, Somebody had six demonstrations of men who are ridiculed to be made to look like dithering idiots.
Who
Do you
that?
Know anything about that?
No. I'm preaching it.
So we're just going to flop right
here. Well, I'm preaching.
We're done because you refuse to give it up. Well, is that what's happening here?
I just want to tell the truth. I didn't preach it Sunday. I'm preaching it this coming Saturday.
Oh, so this you're giving it away now.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry. Nobody at your church listened.
Probably not.
All right, who are the six men who look silly, or at least a few of them?
A few of them. I mentioned Homer Simpson, the guy from The Office.
Ned Flanders looks like a dithering idiot, too.
Yeah.
As a Christian. Okay, so the guy from The Office.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Michael Bean, or not Michael Bean, that's Michael Scott. Mr. Bean. Do you remember Mr. Bean?
How do you know these things, Jimmy? Are you a passive husband? You no, watch all these things?
I did as a kid.
I see. All right, so they're made to look like knuckleheads.
Yeah, that's how media portrays men today.
Well, it goes back to Dagwood Bumstead,
mm-hmm.
who was a contemporary of Laurel and Hardy, which gets us back on track. Laurel and Hardy, they acted like they were quite brilliant, especially Oliver Hardy. Such funny stuff. Clean. And then they would come into a calamitous situation, and he would say, just leave this to me. I've got this figured. Sort of like the captain, and the skipper, not the captain, the skipper on Gilligan's Island. He acted like he was smart, and he wasn't. And he didn't fix the problem. He actually made it worse. And that's why Oliver Hardy and the skipper are like the world. Because they are unmoored from Christian values, from biblical principles, which align with reality. This is the way that it is supposed to work. This is how we are to live. That is the best for us. They have jettisoned, deconstructed all of that. And we see the statistics. We've actually got science for this, if you consider social science to be science. The people who are depressed, the people who are lonely, the people who are suicidal. How did this phenomenon happen? Why are people more miserable, depressed, and lonely today than they were, say, 50 years ago? And you have to take a look at our society and conclude the world system, which has taken over, it has supplanted Christian values, has produced the fruit of misery. And then they step in and say, we'll help you with that. Case in point number one, this is from NBC News. This is a five-page article, five pages, to support the headline, Six Weighted Stuffed Animals That Can Help Adults and Kids Relax. Would you like to hear how the world would like to help people who are apparently a little wound up and stressed out? I'll just read for you the first paragraph. This is the world. By the way, they consulted with psychiatrists and psychologists to determine which one of the stuffed animals that are presented on the marketplace that are good for helping adults cope. Here's what they said. Chances are you've heard about the... This is insanity. Chances are you've heard about the potential benefits of using a weighted blanket. For example, research. Research has found that they can help decrease anxiety and help with insomnia. Well, okay, how's about the fact that you put something heavy that surrounds somebody, it makes you sleep more? Big deal. That's just a natural physiological phenomenon. Back to the article. Looking for something a little lighter, more portable, and cuter? Weighted stuffed animals are the answer. Thank you, Oliver Hardy. Less cumbersome than their blanket counterparts, weighted stuffed animals offer similar calming benefits and are a great option for kids, although anyone can use them, says this woman, a licensed clinical psychologist and assistant professor at the Yale School of Medicine. You're feeling stressed, anxious, lonely? Come on, adult! Buy a stuffed animal! And it's like Lucy pulling the football out from Charlie Brown again. We talked to experts to learn what you should know about weighted stuffed animals before buying one. We also rounded up a handful of options to purchase for yourself or a loved one, regardless of their age. Jimmy, pick your favorite. These are the criteria. Weight, fabric size, easy to clean, heatable or freezable, and a good return policy. This is the type of stuff that should go into a Yale medical journal. And so the winners are Warmy's Black and White Cow, filled with flaxseed and dried lavender to promote relaxation. You can place it in a microwave to warm it up, stick it in the freezer to make it chilly. It also offers, if you prefer, a sloth, bear, lion, or shark. Plus, animal wraps and pairs of hugging animals.
Oh, that's going to help right there.
You got your Hugimals, Charlie the Puppy, weighted stuffed animal, a weighted lap pad puppy, the green dinosaur, Ellie the elephant, and a large Huguette pillow, whatever that is. The world has created a lot of sadness, a lot of confusion, a lot of meaninglessness. There's nothing transcendent that the world offers. We are nothing but animals. That's what they keep telling us. That's what the other scientists say. We're just like those animals. And look at those animals have human characteristics. See, we're all the same. We're not. We're image bearers. We're better than the sparrows. We're better than the lilies of the field. And the world that tells you, no, you're primordial goo making kids feel, offer them weighted, stuffed animals for a cure. This is Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies,
Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don,
don't interrupt soon.
Time to start.
But I'm so relaxed and comfortable. I'm just snuggling with my weighted stuffed animal therapy thing. This is Wretched Radio. The world offers wisdom. What does it produce? It produces It produces really bad stuff is what it produces. Doom, displeasure, agony on thee. Why? Because the world system is anti-God. It's anti-Bible. It's anti-Christ. And that means it is going to have negative side effects. What makes it more is that the world then, identifying the misery that it itself has created, and steps in and says, we'll fix it. And they offer stuffed animals to cuddle with that, well, they're not as cumbersome as the weighted blanket. It's a weighted stuffed animal, and it's going to make you feel oh so good. And so an entire industry, there's a number of companies making these weighted stuffed animals because adults, these are not just for children. They're for adults because they are desperate and they believe the world and they listen to the world. And I see this as an amazing opportunity for the church not to suddenly become the therapeutic center. We don't turn the church into something that Jesus didn't intend for it to be, but we can recognize the world is hurting, and we do this already. We do this already. Do you ever think about, for instance, supporting ministries that dig wells for people overseas, provide food for people overseas? Or nationally for that, does your church have a food pantry, a clothing closet where you give away these things? Why do we do it? Well, it's kind. We see the world is needy. If we have additional resources, we offer it to them. Why? As a demonstration of God's love shown toward us through his son, Jesus Christ, dying for us while we were yet sinning. Because we have been shown so much love, because we have been shown so much forgiveness, we want to show it demonstrably to the world. And we do that already with physical needs. But what about emotional needs? Now, I've stated this before. We cannot turn the Christian message into therapy speak. Oh, you're sad? Jesus will make you happy. But the reality is, he does. That's what the Beatitudes tell us. We are supremely happy because we're thinking rightly, because we understand reality, because we know what we are and we know who God is and we know what he should do to us, but we know what he's done for us. And it makes us supremely happy even when we're being persecuted. The challenge, of course, is letting the world know about one of the benefits of the gospel without turning the gospel into one of its benefits. We see that happen too often and we want to stay away from that ditch. But simultaneously, I think we need to identify and recognize the world is definitely struggling, and we're offering them weighted stuffed animals, or we're training animal chaplains offering spiritual care for every species. Raised in the Midwest as a Presbyterian preacher's kid, Sarah Bowen says she's often hauled to hospice facilities and funeral homes, but noticed that the chipmunks and other animals crumpled by the side of the road weren't treated with the same dignity shown to people. So what did she decide to do? Well, I'm going to become an animal chaplain. When a favorite goat had been fatally wounded in a vehicle accident, Bowen led the... This is what she actually does. So that somebody's goat died in an accident. Bowen led the sanctuary staff and volunteers in a ritual that involved writing letters to the goat on dissolvable paper, then drop them in a bowl of water, representing all the tears that were being shed, or the tears that people felt they couldn't shed. And she held a furry wake where humans gathered alongside other goats and sheep to share... To share stories about the goat's antics. And she left the group with a wind chime placed where the accident happened. Wow. Animal chaplains. Supposedly to help people? Not a chance. Because the world system says that we are no different than animals ourselves. I don't know any actual animal chaplains. You want to be an okay, show me a dog that's an animal chaplain. Show me a, I love to make it one of those Australian sheepdogs. They're the smart ones, right? So are there any Australian sheepdog chaplains? Now I'm talking about the four-legged furry kind with a tail. Are there any? The answer is no, because they don't even think about such things. Nevertheless, we're told we're no different than animals. By the way, I do have a demonstration, and there have been a plethora. That's a lot of examples lately of the world trying to lower the descent of man, bringing man down to the level of animal and elevating animals to the level of man. Apparently, there's a Canadian comedian named Mae Martin. I'm not familiar with her. She's hosting, apparently, this is a big thing. Canadian television, since 1960, the CBC, has produced The Nature of Things. It's probably real worldly back then. And it's a big deal in Canada, and she's hosting a show called Fluid, Life Beyond the Binary. You know what that's going to be about, of course. This woman, did I mention, is a comedian. Quote, I want to know what science has to say about gender and sexual fluidity, she says in the presentation on the CBC, The Nature of Things. The episode won't just be limited to exploring the animal kingdom, at least not without a look at humans, because we're animals. We're the same. We're no different. The teaser promises to discover the latest science and debunk, deconstruct old ideas, specifically about transgender people. One expert says the difference between male and female brains is so subtle.
I don't think so.
This person isn't married. Are you kidding me? And I'm not making fun of women. I'm making fun of both genders. We are different. And you can't observe that and you call yourself a scientist? Nevertheless, this expert says the difference between the male and female brain is so subtle. Before we see them taking a human brain out of a vat of fluid and saying, I have no idea what kind of person this comes from. Okay, so it physically is the same. That doesn't mean it operates the same way. There's even a scene in which a teacher is shown explaining trans people to a classroom of children. What do they do to make their case? They show trans behavior in the animals. They show gay animals. See, it's natural. It's a part of nature. Animals do it. We've got opposable thumbs, but we're still animals. We do it too. Therefore, it's okay. The episode won't shy away from tackling some of the most transphobic myths out there. Namely, the idea that brain sex is a real thing. And the idea that explaining transness to children is difficult or dangerous. What a piece of propaganda that is. And what do they use to prove their point? Observing animals in nature. And then suggesting it's normal for that type of behavior to exist. And that is being done constantly. Back to our animal chaplains. Animal chaplain training programs are reporting increased enrollment year over year, as well as a growing recognition that the work they do, it is no joke. I agree. Writing down your favorite memories of a goat on dissolvable paper and putting it in a bowl. How powerful is that? This is beyond animal blessings and pet funerals, said the chaplain. What we're talking about are deep systemic and existential questions about our relationships with other species. The world says you're an animal. And then we suddenly don't feel very, I don't know, purposeful. And then what does the world say? Well, we'll be animal chaplains then. And we'll make you feel better when you lose a pet. It's the world creating the problem, solving the problem, and making the problem actually worse. Animal loss can trigger existential questions about God's existence and character. Never crossed my mind, I'll be honest with you. Or whether animals are in the afterlife. Trained chaplains aren't there to provide answers. But wait a second. Trained chaplains aren't there to provide answers. Then what's your purpose? But are familiar with a range of religious and spiritual worldviews and can help people make meaning from their circumstances. The world is hurting. The world does not know how to deal with the death of a pet. Now, please note, I get it. It's sad when you lose a beloved pet. I get that. But it's devastating to people when a goat dies and they don't know what to do with it. And they don't know how to be thinking in a way that says, it's okay. I understand their purpose. I know why they're here and that they are to serve us. And so I thank God for the time that I did get to spend with that animal. The world doesn't offer that. Instead, all they do is make the problem worse. What an opportunity for the church. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.